All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Dancing music, swaying to the music, getting ready for the New Year's, which is going to be New Year's Eve tomorrow. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose, and you are listening to Jeffrey Bennett's The Edge of Darkness here on Republic Broadcasting Network with Mike as our board engineer and owner. Real news, folks, real talk, and real people, because you can handle the truth. Folks, today's date is December the 30th, 2022. Again, I am your guest host, Maggie Rose. And no, this is not the Concord Show. This is The Edge of Darkness, Jeffrey Bennett's show, where you can find him Monday through Friday here on RBN. I will be covering the Mondays and the Fridays from him for the next, about a month, month and a half, or 2 months or so. As you know, he's with you 5 days a week, and he's got a lot of catching up to do and things that he needs to be doing. Don't forget, folks, that RBN is listener-supported, and we count on your generous donations to be able to keep ourselves going on the air, where you can get the truth, you can get the current news of what's going on, uncensored, uncontrolled truth, folks. Not misinformation, information that we give you that you may not be getting, probably you're not getting on your TV news channels. For those of you that do subscribe to the news, you're probably not getting it in your newspapers. Very few newspapers here in the U.S. any longer are newspapers that you can trust what they're putting out to you. As you already know, much of the media is controlling what information we're allowed to have, where they're putting out misinformation towards us. They're not allowing us to tell the truth of what's really going on out there. Now, you know, I've come on here before and I've brought up my own stories, because folks, the best things that you get from people is their stories and the truth. And yes, why don't we take some calls tonight? We can take some calls right now if there's some people calling into the show. Mike, is there anybody out there? Oh, okay. Thank you, Mike. So, folks, we will take some calls if you guys call into the show. Mike, would you like to give out that phone number to people, please, which is 512-248. Again, that number, once again, it went away so quickly. It was area code 512. And let's see if
It's 512-248-8252. And if anybody needs the toll-free number, that is 800-313-9443.
Thank you so much, Mike. Folks, yeah, this is, I'm still new at this RBN. So I'm gonna actually write those numbers down and have them at the ready in the future. Now, there's a newspaper that comes out. It's called the Roseburg Beacon. And this month's edition, which is volume 15, issue 52, is the December 28th, 2022 to January 3rd, 2023 edition. And it's the Roseburg Beacon out of Roseburg, Oregon. Now, folks, a lot of people have come to me in the past, and it's interesting. You'll find people that on one hand, they admire what you've done, where you've been, what you've experienced, and what your knowledge base is. And then others are either jealous of your background, and so they try to tear you down, or they'll build you up just to tear you down, and that can be a pretty damn hard fall, okay? And then there's those that just do not believe that you are who you are, you've been where you've been, you've seen what you've seen, and you've experienced what you've experienced. Even if you want to present the evidence to them to back up what you're saying, they don't want to see it. They would rather believe a fantasy. They would rather believe a fallacy than believe the truth. Sometimes for some people, the truth is too hard to take. And that's a sad commentary. The fact is that it's sort of the old saying, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. And I've had that experience with my own family members. I've lost thousands of dollars because of people that I trusted, that I thought were going to have my back, and that I was there for them. And when it came time for them to pull their part of the bargain, they were like, yeah, we've changed our mind. They got what they wanted out of you, and then they're on their happy way. So over time, you get a little bit pessimistic. You get to the point where you're not really sure who you can trust any longer. And when it's your own family members, and you find that you can't even trust them. I mean, that old saying that blood is thicker than water is not necessarily always the case. Now, for those people out there that don't know much about me, a little bit synopsis about my background. I was in the military. I first went active duty from 74 to 78. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I was on my way to Vietnam as a combat, well, I actually started off as a medical corpsman and then became later on EMT, a combat medic, as well as a licensed nurse. I was in Korea when Vietnam fell. I finished my active duty, my first stint of active duty out of Fort Ord, Monterey, California, and ended up raising my five children while I was in the military part-time in the National Guard and in the Army Reserve. And did another year and a half of active duty while I was in nursing school back into the Army Reserve again. I've served in the National Guard in three different states. I've traveled around the United States on various missions through the military. And then I was back active duty again from 2010 to 2014. During part of that time, I was in the Wounded Warrior Transition Unit. As a Wounded Warrior, I got injured while I was on a weekend duty due to the negligence of a lieutenant colonel that was trying to impress the general. And a couple years later, I ended up having three surgeries and ended up finding out that the Veterans Administration is not always there for you, especially if you're a female veteran. The old saying of how they treat our men and women veterans, delay, delay, deny, deny, and hope we die in the process. That's true, folks. We're finding that with many VA facilities clear across the United States from one coast to the other coast. The better care, for the most part, is on the East Coast. The worse care, or the lesser care, is on the West Coast. But the better care is definitely on the East Coast, where all the movers and the shakers are and the people that are able to influence those in Washington, D.C. I also spent some time working for the Department of Defense, under the Department of Navy. I also worked for a short time for the Department of Treasury until I discovered what was going on in the department I was working in. And, you know, some of the information that came across my desk was like something similar to you might find out of X-Files, you know. You hear people talk about conspiracy theory. Well, folks, not everything out there is a theory. There's actually conspiracy facts going on within our own government. We're going to be covering that tonight, where the FBI and the CIA, they do not, many of them do not care about this country. They only care about getting that 30-year letter and retiring with the pension. They don't care about the rights of the American people. Now, what's sad is that there are people in the FBI, and I think a few people in the CIA, who do care about the American people. But if they want to protect their jobs, or literally protect their lives, they put up and they shut up, which is really not the right thing to do. So we've been hearing stories recently that 2023 will be the year of the whistleblowers. That this will be, will people say, I've had enough, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, and they're going to step forward because they love our country that much. Over the years, in my training as a medical corpsman, later on as an EMT, later on as a licensed nurse, then becoming a 68 whiskey, which, oh, by the way, Paul, if you're out there listening, there on the West Coast, 68 whiskey is a combat medic, okay? So, Paul, if you have any doubts about a combat medic, a 68 whiskey is a combat medic. And so people can be trained to be combat medics and not necessarily see live combat or hand-to-hand combat. But those men and women that are trained to be 68 whiskeys are always at the ready if they're called to step forward and do so. Now, I also want to put out a big shout out to my friend Pack Woman. Pack Woman is down under. She's in Australia. And she was with me listening to my shows when I was on a former network, which I finally decided I couldn't take it any longer. There's so much hypocrisy out there, do as I say and not as I do, that when you find out after 6 years it's just not a good fit and you stand up to the abuse, then it comes to a point where you have to call them out. And you don't have to put up with that, especially when you're a volunteer. And Pack Woman in Australia, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to put a big shout out to her because she has been very loyal. She's followed me over here to RBN, knowing that, you know, I'm filling in for Jeffrey on a couple of his days a week here on The Edge of Darkness. And I just want to say thank you for being such a good friend, Pack Woman. I'm hoping that one of these days when I make it to Australia that we'll be able to get together and have a really long, long visit and be able to see a bit of that beautiful country I've heard so much about. A lot of wonderful things. I have family members that have been dying to go to Australia. And so maybe one of these days we'll be able to make a trip and do that. One of the things that I was trying to share with people not very long ago is when we're talking about conspiracy, we're talking about really what is going on. It has been so obvious, and we were warning people back in the 90s that their globalists were going to try to pull something. They were back in the 90s talking about the vaccines and other things that they were going to try to pull on the American people and how they were going to try to force certain medical procedures on people without their informed consent. And we discovered that that's exactly what happened in 2019 and 2020. Now, I understand we have a call coming in right now from James in Vancouver. James, welcome to RBN and to Jeffrey's Edge of Darkness.
Happy New Year, and thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you the last couple of days, and you were in Korea, you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine who landed with MacArthur in 1950 at Incheon, and they were up at the reservoir, Chosin Reservoir, when the communist Chinese attacked, and he told me a great many stories about that. And what I'm concerned with, or part of what I wanted to ask, is this post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not exactly sure it's being treated properly with the vets today, and that's one issue I just wanted to mention.
Yes, James, I agree with you. And as a person who's been in the medical field, I've been in the medical field about 46 years or so. And being a woman veteran, I served 35 years in the military. And over 10 of those were active duty. And one of the things I've discovered with many of the VA facilities is the lack of mental health care that is really taking place. I mean, what they're doing is they're just pushing medications on many of them. And then if you go into counseling or therapy, they jot down everything you say. And you know darn well that the information you give them could be shared with other DOD departments across the United States. You can't trust the VA any longer. All they want to do is medicate you and push you off to the side. I do not think they are properly treating PTSD or post-traumatic stress like they should be. Back in the day when my fathers were both in Korea, one father was up there in the very DMZ area. He was with the Army. Larry Jansen was with is a radio man. And then my bio father was with the Marine Corps, the Incheon Landing. From what I'm hearing is they called it in those days shell shock. We don't call it shell shock anymore. It's called PTSD. And they're not taking care of our veterans like they should.
Now this gentleman I mentioned to you that was at Incheon, he actually started out his military career fourth wave on the attack at Saipan in 1944, and his job was official translator for the Japanese civilians with the U.S. military. And I think this is how I experienced post-traumatic stress disorder, was we would he and I would have these sessions a couple times a week. I'm not with the military, but he would talk about things, and this went on for several months. And then toward after a couple months at least of just being a sounding board, one day he got into the post-traumatic stress disorder, and it was very intense. There was uncontrollable crying that went on for minutes, and a certain hysteria associated with that. And this was my first encounter with this thing. And Saipan at that time was very traumatic because of the civilians he was working with. And those civilians would be caught in a crossfire between Japanese military and the United States forces, you see. And so witnessing this kind of thing left an impression. Obviously, it hurt him, but it left an impression on me. And so I thought I'd call in and, give you, at least you know who I am now. So thanks for taking my call and everything.
Well, before you hang up, James, what I'd like to ask is he still with us? Is he still around?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He died about 1999. I'll give you some background on him. He was born in Chicago, and he went, in that era was the Depression, and he was sort of in and out of universities. And then when World War II came along, he got involved in the 4th Marine Division, which is the intelligence unit, which was preparing for the landings in the islands and the eventual invasion of Japan, which never happened, of course. But he was for 13 or 14 months at secret bases in the United States studying Japanese intently. So now I can give you the name of a book by one of his friends who is also in the 4th Division Marine Corps. And the name of the book is called One Marine's War.
One Marine's War. What is the name of the author?
Robert Sheeks, Sheeks. And he and Sheeks were in the same outfit and they were trying to, again, their detail was to try to convince the Japanese the Japanese military had told the Japanese civilians on Saipan and other places that if the Americans catch you and their women, they're going to rape you and torture you, this kind of thing, you see. So what my buddy and sheiks would witness is women jumping off the cliffs, okay? This is part of the trauma of having to deal with that. And then there would be snipers in caves hiding behind civilians, right? And people, well, the U.S. military had no choice. They'd go in with flamethrowers, okay? And again, tough to witness. So he's no longer with us, but I learned a lot about the Marine Corps, and I learned a lot about, what was going on at that time in the Pacific Theater. So,
well, James, I want to thank you so much for being such a loyal listener to Republic Broadcasting Network, and I hope you'll continue to tune in to Jeffrey Bennett's show. He's on, as you know, Monday through Friday. I'm going to be covering the Mondays and Fridays for him for the next, 1.5 to 2 months. But it's really great that you are a regular listener of RBN, and please continue to show your loyalty to RBN. We appreciate you calling in.
Well, I appreciate RBN because it is unique in, first of all, if you call in, you will be heard. There's a great deal of goodwill there, you see. In this world today, you can't beat goodwill when it's offered, you see. So I appreciate you listening, taking my call, and again, welcome to the network. So,
well, thank you, James. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You're up in Vancouver, Washington?
Yeah, no, I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, just across the border. I'm about two miles away from the 49th parallel.
Goodness.
My mother's family were all Americans. They migrated into Canada at the turn of the 20th century. For a free land grant that the British had going. So for the first 18 years of my life, I grew up in an American enclave in southwestern Saskatchewan. So, and then I spent a lot of time in the States. My parents used to take me out of school and take me down to California. I lived with my aunt down in L.A. for several months from 1959 to 1960. So, I got involved with the, so I am connected actually by blood to the United States. So,
well, then you also understand that right now Canadians are feeling the pressure of what's going on with that monster Trudeau. And you also understand that a lot of Canadians are warning us Americans that if America falls, that Canadians and everybody else will fall as well. So the Canadians are very concerned because they're losing their rights and their freedoms just as fast, if not faster, than we are.
Yeah, well, I knew a guy in Taiwan. I was in Taiwan for 28 years, and he was military, U.S. military as well. And I sat down with him one day and we were having a drink, and I was telling him, things that about me and such. And I looked at him and I said, I said, my passport says I'm Canadian. I said, but in my head, and I'm American. And he looked me straight in the eyes and said, yeah, you're right about that. See, so I have an American attitude toward the Canadian government, and that is, well, I can cross the border back into the States anytime I want. Go find my relatives down in Nebraska, and it doesn't matter, you see. But so,
well, do me a favor.
Yeah.
I'm planning to make a trip up to Canada here really, really soon. So when you get off this call here, will you please give, if you feel comfortable, either your email or a cell phone number or something to Mike so I can get in contact with you later?
Sure. I think Mike has those coordinates right now. So you're absolutely welcome to check with Mike. And if Mike doesn't have them, I can simply email the coordinates to Mike and he can pass it on to you. How'd that be?
That would be great because the only visit I've had to Canada was briefly crossing the border right outside Sandpoint, Idaho, and for lunch, literally on the other side of the border, about 50 feet from the border and back in. But my husband and my son went with my first cousin up into Canada a few years ago, and they told me it's absolutely beautiful. So I would love to come to Vancouver and shake your hand.
Well, that'd be great. And if you like hiking in the mountains, I can take you to a couple of mountains where hiking up is not super. You don't have to do any rappelling, but it's a good climb, and it's nearby North Vancouver. There's several mountain ranges there that are fun to climb or anything like that. There's all kinds of recreational type outdoor things, and that'd be great.
Well, thank you, James, so much for calling in, folks. That was James from Vancouver, Canada, and it's really great to hear people outside the United States are actually listening to RBN, because the Canadians, our neighbors to the north, they really understand what's happening here in the United States, and they are keeping their finger on the heartthrob of what's happening here, because they do realize that, many of the freedoms that people take for granted here in the United States are freedoms that our Canadian brothers and sisters also should be enjoying. And we all heard what happened not long ago with the truck convoys and what Justin Trudeau did to his people up there. I mean, here's a man who's considered the Prime Minister of Canada, and he's inviting the Communist Chinese to come into Canada and do their training in the National Forest and the backwoods, where even people there in Canada are not allowed to go camping. They're not allowed to go fishing because Justin Trudeau doesn't want them running in to the red Chinese communist uniformed men and women that are marching on the back roads through their national forest and in their wildlife areas. And he's been doing these kind of deals with the Chinese for some time. And you know what they did when they were trying to close down people's financial accounts so they couldn't help financially the truck drivers and the convoys as far as buying their diesel, buying them food. It's just, here's a man who was the love child of Fidel Castro. And it's obvious the apple doesn't fall far from the tree that Fidel Castro's love child is now the Prime Minister of Canada. And he's a monster, folks. Let's call it what it is. People are very much aware of the fact that he's damaging Canada in ways that there may be no repairs. And, of course, the British monarchy is doing next to nothing about it. They're supporting it. If anything, they're probably encouraging it. So, do you think that now that Queen Elizabeth has passed on, that King Charles, with his mistress now wife, that he's going to do anything to make sure Canadians have the freedoms that they should be enjoying? I don't think so. I myself visited Ireland in 2019, and fortunately, my family reunion for the McGraths, or McGrath, McGrath, was in Southern Ireland. So therefore, I didn't have to deal with all the crap that goes on in Northern Ireland. And, I was talking to people, and the hostility still that the Northern Irish have towards the Republic of Ireland, the people that are more freedom-loving, they're more independent. I could relate to those people, because that's what we here in the United States, we want that too. We want freedom to live our own lives and not be having government dictating to us what we can and cannot do, where we can and cannot go. And we're finding that all around the world now, people are rising up and they're starting to push back. And we're trying to encourage that every chance we have, because it is so important that people have a voice and that their voices are not suppressed. Now, one of the things that I was talking about in other shows previously was that my father-in-law had taken the Moderna, and my mother had also taken the Moderna, and we lost them within 8 days of each other. And it was one of those situations that we had asked them not to take the shots. We told them they were experimental. I said, Mom, I told you back in the 90s, the globalists are going to be trying to cull the herd. If you don't know what culling is, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, you need to do your homework. You need to look it up. She thought I was crazy. I was a right-wing wacko. And, you know, people have been talking about the mark of the beast. And I don't know if you want to go there or not. But the thing is whether it's a microchip that's planted in your animal, whether it's a microchip that's planted in a soldier in case he gets captured by the enemy so we could track his whereabouts, they were being... up until a few years ago, they were putting microchips in the hands of children up in Washington State, right outside Seattle. And the reason they were doing this is they were telling the parents, look, if you send lunch money with your kids to school and you have somebody come and beat them up for their lunch money or take their lunch money away from them, there's nothing much we can do about it. So why don't you take the money, put it in a special account with your kid's name on it. The school will maintain that account, you know, put in $100 a month, whatever. And then that what the children will do is they go to the lunchroom at breakfast time to get breakfast. Some kids have to go to school so early that they need to have breakfast at school. Or sometimes the parents can't afford breakfast meals and dinner meals too. So the kids get free breakfast or free lunch. And then, you know, it gets ticked off in their name and they're given credit for that. Well, now if you put money in your children's account, they wave their hand under this machine and it's got a microchip in their hand and then it docks off whatever money it is it's charging for their meal. The kids thought this was a fun game, okay? This was a new thing, so it was really cool to do this. Wave your hand under a machine, and it will dock off whatever money that your lunch is costing you, whether it's $3 or $4.25. At the end of the month, your parents will say, okay, this is how much money you have in your account. If you want to keep a balance of $100, you need to send another $30, $40, whatever. Parents said, this is so convenient. Children said, this is so much fun. Not true. This is, again, just one more step to desensitizing us, to us getting used to the idea that they're going to mark us. Is it going to end there in the lunchroom? Oh, no. Now employers are being told to tell their employees that if they want to get in the front door, we're going to keep the front door locked. But instead of pushing numbers to get themselves into the building to go to work, now they have to wave their hand under a scanner and they'll have a microchip in their hand. And if they want to go to work in the building, they got to have the microchip in their hand and they have to put it in the scanner. This is what's going on in the United States right now. Now, when it came to the shots, we were warning people, don't take these. These are experimental. They're going to be making guinea pigs out of you. They're not telling us what is in these shots. We don't know what kind of chemicals they're made of. They're saying that they're modifying our DNA. They're changing our DNA. Why would you want to modify your DNA? Seriously, why would you want to take something that could compromise your immune response? Could actually destroy your antibodies or the immunities you have to other things. Well, my mother didn't listen. My father-in-law didn't listen. They both took the Moderna. He ended up with a heart attack, and a week later, he must have had a second one because we found him. He was gone. My mother ended up having seizures, shortness of breath, ambulance to Kaiser Permanente 2 times in a 48-hour period of time. 2 weeks later at the health and well checkup, the doctor was trying to force her to take the second Moderna. She said no. Well, why not? Because I like to breathe. You walk into a pharmacy, whether it's Walgreens, whether it's CVS, whether it's Rite Aid, whether it's one of your local pharmacies, and you say, look, before you give me the Moderna, the Pfizer, I'd like to see the packaging it came in. Ask them to show you the piece of paper that's the insert that always goes with any medications. Even if you go down to your doctor and they prescribe a medication for you, there's going to come a piece of paper that explains what the side effects could be, what the side effects can do to you, folks. And when you ask them to open it up, it will be blank, okay? There's nothing on both sides of that piece of paper. They don't want you to know that this is purely experimental and that these things could actually kill you. So if they don't print anything up on that piece of paper, then you can't hold them accountable later. And what a lot of people don't know is the lobbyists went to Washington, D.C. years ago from the big pharmaceuticals, and they passed laws where they will never be held liable for any death or injury taking place from any medications that they're pushing out there on your TV screen or through your doctor's offices. So I want you to keep that in mind, folks, that you don't want to be a guinea pig anymore. We have Tom in Utah. Hello, Tom. Tom, are you with us?
Oh, okay. Oh. We went through the sound gate.
Hello, anyway, Tom. This is Maggie. This is Maggie Rose.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
I was part of the decommissioning team of the thousands of FEMA trailers that were taking out the lives of elderly and babies in after Katrina.
Would you say that again, please, Tom?
I was part of the decommissioning team where we decommissioned thousands of FEMA trailers that were killing babies and elderly or housebound after Katrina.
Can you explain in more detail, Tom, about that?
Well, in 2009, a deputy sheriff from the New Orleans area called me up. He seen my work on the web where I had exposed the poisoning of 34 million, the families that happened to live in manufactured or mobile homes. In the process, I found out that in 1974, there was a choice made by a group of men at Iron Mountain. And in 1976, the entire manufactured mobile home industry fell under the regulatory authority of HUD, and HUD forced the entire industry to violate ventilation and breathe healthy interior air conditioning code so that the families would be living on air that is subtly or seriously poisoned with carbon monoxide, formaldehyde, even sewer gases. And the same thing occurred in the Katrina event, where they had FEMA putting these, temporary camping trailers together for the victims of Katrina. And when they were putting their babies and their elderly and their handicapped in those units, 24/7, they would end up losing their babies. And this gentleman, he saw my work on the web on the entire industry, asked me to come down there. And I helped them understand why their babies were dying in those FEMA trailers. And as a consequence, I ended up affecting the decommissioning, you know, that term, of all those thousands of FEMA trailers. But then, of course, later I found out they were trying to pawn them off onto the military, up upon the Native Americans, upon the humble white and black Americans. And then, of course, the one issue that I put a stop to secondarily was they were going to take those units and send them off to Haiti through a certain NGO to provide housing units for the victims of the Haitian earthquake and tsunami. When I spoke to the leadership of the World Health Organization, they said, well, that fixes that. We'll not accept those units. And within a few days, I was readjusted biologically in D.C. And you can see that that whole story, or at least the foundations of it, in gassingamerica.com. So since you're a nurse.
So you're telling us gassingamerica.com.
Uh-huh. And there'll be a link on the bar that says licensetokill.us, and you can go actually and see the transcript of my testimony in New Orleans, which affected the decommissioning of those units. Yet they still left people living in them, and then later they tried to pawn them off onto the Native Americans and the veterans and the like.
Wow.
I hate to kind of cram that into there. Joyce Riley was an old friend of mine. Did I understand that you've been on Joyce Riley's program before?
Actually, Joyce Riley was on my show. I met her on it was Art Bell Coast to Coast before George Norrie took over. And I was doing Republic Radio International out of Battle Creek, Michigan, with John Stapmiller and Mark Corky. And I was doing my show 5 days a week. It was called The Concord Hour. It later became The Concord Show. And every Wednesday, I brought Joyce Riley up because she was also a nurse. She was a registered nurse in the right. Air Force Reserve. And I brought her up to present to us every Wednesday medical updates. From there, she went on to do Genesis Communications, where she ended up involved in some very nefarious things and became the woman that we no longer knew. She left the reservation, and then she passed away a few years ago of cancer. So it was because of me that Joyce Riley got her full start on radio, and it was my show that Alex Jones took over himself that launched him into the career he has now. So, yeah, I was instrumental in both putting Joyce Riley forward and also Alex Jones.
Yeah, for some reason I had it in my head that you were somehow connected to Joyce, but I didn't exactly understand or remember why. But anyway.
Yeah, she was a guest on my show every Wednesday.
Yeah, my default science is zoonotic epidemiology. I started out in veterinary pathology, moved into human and pediatric and geriatric pathology. And for the first half of my life, the first 30 years, I was on the AMA side. And then I ended up on the steel table myself in 1999 or 1991. But at that point, I had to come face to face with my own science.
Right.
And I realized that I had been following the AMA version, and it didn't pay off. So
You became a what?
I became a alternative zoonotic epidemiologist.
I'm so grateful for what you calling into the show and sharing that with us. I had a relative that was in Katrina during 2004, and some of the stories I heard coming out of Louisiana and Katrina when he was with the National Guard down there were enough to curl your hair. Well, I thank you for calling in. Please do continue to listen to RBI, RBN, and continue to be a follower of our shows here. And I'm really grateful to your call, Tom. We're going to take another call now.
Do me a favor.
Yes.
Do me a favor. I was blinded in D.C. I don't have internet. I'm listening to a dial-up number on the phone. My phone number is at the bottom of that webpage. Please call me and let me talk to you about my experience, not only in the Army, but I went back and went in the Air Force, but I also serviced all of the branches of the military.
Okay, well, I'm going to make sure Mike writes down your number. So you're Tom out of Utah, right?
Yeah. In fact, you can find my information. Just go tominutah.us or tominutah.com. That .com takes you to a case where I'm actually defending a former veteran who's been falsely accused. Even though I am visually impaired, I'm not mentally impaired.
Okay.
Thankfully.
I'll make sure. Tom, I really appreciate it, Tom. I will have Mike give me your information, and I'll call you later on next week. How does that sound?
Thank you. I'd be honored.
Okay, thank you. Well, the honor is mine, sir. So now we're going to go to Sam in Indiana. Sam, are you with us?
Hi, Maggie.
Hi there, Sam.
It's good to hear you. I called last time I talked to a radio host. I called about 2 weeks before John Stapmiller passed away, and he had Mike take my email address. I got one reply, then my PC went down. I left VA care back in 2014, 2015, because they wanted to sign a new contract. I got too much security stuff going on here. They wanted us to test vaccines and drugs and never use civilian care again. I mean, they treated us like dogs. And to get our pain meds, we were supposed to do this and never use civilian care again, even for emergencies.
So in order to get your
forward,
pain,
I mean,
are you telling me in order to get your medication from the VA, they wanted to also experiment on you?
Yes. And I've tried report this, and the more I've reported it, the more trouble I've got into. A local local hospital won't release my records, and I've tried to contact people all over the nation, and I can't get any help. Veterans groups, American Legion, they called me a domestic terrorist.
Okay, so
VA shattered my jaw. I can't get locals to x-ray it, but they do surgery on me to try to pull the broken fragments out and all that business.
Yeah.
But the kicker is I'm being gang-stalked. I've been hit with thieves every day. Police won't do nothing. People locally won't do anything. I'm in Terre Haute, Indiana. You know, they know who I am. I just wish they'd come out and finish me off.
Sam, can you tell me what city you're in?
Terre Haute, Indiana.
Okay, and what VA facility, what city is the VA in?
Indianapolis, Rattlebush.
Okay, and so if somebody was to mention your name, just say Sam, not give a last name. Let's not do the last name. If you want to give your last name to Mike, please do so after you hang up with me. But give Mike your last name and what city you're in. So if somebody was to contact the VA there and say, look, this gentleman was told that he could not get his medications unless he was willing to be a guinea pig, would they know who I was talking about?
I don't know. There was a group of us. Sam's not my real name. Mike probably knows I've got a weird name. But okay. John had him take my email address previously. But I've contacted hundreds of people. I've contacted my congressmen, senators, veteran groups. They don't want to touch me. The police, I had burglars out here. I was on crutches. I'm a disabled vet.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do is I want you to write to me. This is my email address. You're going to have to give Mike your contact according to what I just got a note from Mike. But you can also write to me at the New Concord Hour with Maggie at hotmail.com. Again, it's all one word, the New Concord, C-O-N-C-O-R-D, like grapes or like the battle at Concord and Lexington, which is what it's named for, the New Concord Hour with W-I-T-H Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at hotmail.com. Send me an email, and then also give your contact information to Mike, okay? Can you do that for me, Sam?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to get it out. I had these burglars trapped out here. I was out there at night, 6 hours. Please won't show up. Businesses won't do businesses with me. I can't get out locally and talk this stuff, so I don't see any whistleblowers coming out next year.
Well, let's see what happens, okay, Sam?
Yes, ma'am.
No promises,
I'll get my information,
but we'll see what we can do.
Okay. I appreciate it, but it's a bit late, I believe. But I appreciate listening to you. I'm glad you're filling in. I listen to Bennett all the time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sam, and I'm sorry you're going through all that. It's not fair that our veterans should be treated that way, and I'm really sorry about that.
Well, thank you, but I'm just worried about these other guys. They're so much they're full of fear, and everybody's scared to death. I don't understand it. You know?
Right. Now, I don't know what's going on there, Mike. I'm getting a lady back on the East Coast. She's saying that it's repeating what it said before. She said it doesn't sound like RBN is playing live. She said it played the end of someone else's show on bumpers again, and now she's getting dead air. So it's probably on her end.
Yeah, well, that's probably just an internet connection problem.
And, yeah.
I'll get Sam's info off air here in a second. But, yeah, that kind of stuff happens all the time. She just needs to either reconnect or might have to restart whatever
right.
she's listening on. That's going to happen all the time, folks. And I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we get the phone systems, and I don't mean our phone system here. I mean the whole infrastructure. Sometimes we lose audio. Sometimes internet connections buffer, they're going to repeat, they're going to drop, they're going to stutter. So just, you know, be patient for a minute or two, and then you have to reconnect or restart your device, your computer, whatever you're on.
Well, I'm very grateful, Mike, that both James and Tom were able to share with us some information that otherwise people would not have known. James in Vancouver, Canada, Tom in Utah, and then the situation here with Sam in Indiana. Now we've got Pat from Fort Worth. Pat, hello. Welcome to Jeffrey Bennett's The Edge of Darkness here on RBN.
Yeah, I've been enjoying you're taking his show, plus I enjoyed him too. But I wanted to tell you something that the Concerned Veterans of America, for years they worked with the help of Koch Brothers, K-O-C-H Brothers, and helping finance some of it. And they got all these people to want to do something about the VA. And so when Trump went in, he made an executive order. I'm sure I'm telling you something you already know. I guess I'm telling everybody else that formed the department of it, and then they passed a law that made it legal, and it's called the VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes, I am, Pat.
Yeah, thought you would be, but there was a big pushback. I mean, oh man, it was big, and I don't know that it got a whole lot better. They caught a whole bunch of people taking the drugs that they were supposed to be giving to the hospital patients. But I have heard of stories where the VA did misdiagnosed people, and even after they left the VA, they got sued for like $200,000. Doctors.
Wow. Yeah, well, I know there's been a lot of games going on in the VA system. There's a lot of cover-up that's going on. And we have to come under Vision 20, which is located in Vancouver, Washington, just south of Seattle. And I'll tell you, Vision 20 is not our friend. And they've been treating a lot of veterans like dirt, as one of the guys said before in an earlier call. They treat them like dogs. And that's true. Veterans are being kicked to the curb every day. I'm really grateful, Pat, that you're on top of that, that you need to share that with your neighbors and family and friends so they're aware as well.
Well, my husband, I'm a military brat, and my husband was a veteran, and he worked with the CVA to get that whole thing done. So, and one of my best friends, he's real involved in all of that stuff right now. So I hate it, you know, that that they don't get the treatment they need. But when they made it so that you could go out into the community, I'm not going to give you the name of it, that didn't work too well at all.
It's called community care. And many times that there's a lot of people falling between the cracks. With the community care, and Tri-West is another one that comes under community care. So community care // Tri-West is not always the answer. But I'll tell you, sometimes you get better care on the outside than you do in the VA.
Well, I don't know. I am a medical lab technician, MPASCP. So I was able to keep him alive a long time. I hate to say that. I said, I wish I'd have been a lawyer. But anyway, I thought I would tell you that Trump did try to do something, and I think he would have been able to more if he could have stayed in and they hadn't been coming up to him all the time. But I'll let you go.
I totally agree.
And I appreciate Jeff Bennett. He is something else. I think he might have been with my brother over there in Vietnam, but he's just kind of busy to talk to him too much. And he was on the helicopters. He was a medic, and he was picking up the people. And Jeff said, "No, I wasn't a medic. I just guarded them while they went and got the." Doesn't matter if they're Vietnamese. See, that's America. You know, you can run Americans down all you want to, but I don't think that that word share is that important in another in another country like it is here. And, I, and Jeff, he cracked me up. He said he picked up this guy, and he was he lunged. He was going to go for the helicopter pilot. He said, that guy learned to fly. Sure did, right out the door. All right, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. We're coming to the end of the show now here with Jeffrey Bennett here on The Edge of Darkness on RBN. On Monday, I will be covering the media blackout.
Oh,
and
we're off Monday. Just to
oh, we are off on. Monday.
We'll be back Tuesday.
Oh, okay, folks. We're going to be back Tuesday. There's going to be no show on Monday. Monday is a holiday. God bless you all. Have a happy new year. Thank you, Mike, for that. You guys all take care.
Race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do-do-do-oh. Do you think we have time? Hand. Oh, we hold on to what she can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances. Say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope. There is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.